Okay, our next presentation is Mine Haulage Simulation, a tool towards managing uncertainty. Our presenter is Houman Akhari. Houman is a principal engineer, OptiTech Mining Consulting. He is a professor at the School of Mining and Petroleum Engineering at the University of Alberta. He consults, teaches, conducts research in the areas of simulation, optimization of mining systems, and mine planning and design. He's the principal engineer at OptiTech Mining Consulting. He's also a registered professional engineer in Alberta with 22 years of combined field consulting, teaching, and research experience. How about a warm welcome for Houman?
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being here. Today, I'm just going to go over a simulation tool that we built for clients. The simulation was built for an operation in oil sands in Alberta. It's a large-scale operation. They have two large pits, two processing plants, around 160 trucks, mixed fleet of Cats and Komatsus, and around 25 shovels. So it's a complex operation, moving around more than 1 million ton of material every day and crushing more than 500,000 tons a day. So a request of the client was that they wanted to see what is the impact of autonomous truck if it is replaced with their current fleet. What is the productivity gain that they're gonna have if they replace their current fleet with autonomous trucks? So, and their requirement was that they want high accuracy. So the reason was that we want to look at all KPIs, and first your simulation model needs to be validated against historical data, show us that the simulation model is mimicking the reality and the historical data that we have within 3% accuracy, then we were going to move forward with the study. So we got the team that worked with me on this project, and basically, I'm just going to go give a higher overview of what we do, both in terms of research and, you know, consulting work. So we work in different areas, from long-term, medium-term to short-term planning. For this, we usually use optimization. And optimization, I'm referring to it as a technical optimization, which you have an understanding that how far you're from the best possible solution. For operational level, we usually look at using what we call simulation or discrete event simulation, which allows capturing uncertainty into your models. Optimization gives you an answer to the questions that you have, but because of the complexity, you usually oversimplify the models are oversimplify simplification of the reality. Versus simulation, you have the ability to model complex, detailed model that is mimicking the reality. So when they go, when you want to compare these two. The background, I gave some background about the project, and we worked on this project. So we started in 2014. After building the model, they used the tool as an operational planning tool over a quarterly basis for their mine plans, and we ran their mine plans every year, 2014, 2015, 2016. They got back to us, and we ran their mine plans for them. So what is discrete event simulation? It's nothing new. It's a technology that has been around, and in another presentation, they refer to ARENA. These guys have been around for 30 years. You can think about it as a programming language that you can build simulation models of real systems. It's used in many different industries. It has components that move in the system, and you capture uncertainty. It's not that you're just working with averages. You see the whole spectrum of the data variability. So what do you do? So you got a real system, your mine and let's say the mining operation, your processing plant. You have some inputs that these inputs are uncertain. You got a histogram around it. It's not that the cycle time is always fixed or the uptime and downtime for your preventive maintenance is the same. And then you have some KPIs that you're measuring, and those KPIs are not averages again. So you got distributions. What we do in the simulation model, we build a model that mimics that real world system to a detail level that is required. And the input data, the input comes from your historical data. So it's not assumptions. It's just we look at the data, what you have done in the past, that is going to be the input to the system. And then we will basically have outputs of those KPIs that exist in the real system, and then we compare. The first step is to compare the output of the simulation model to the historical data that you had and say, okay, the simulation is mimicking the reality. The power, again, is capturing uncertainty. The project, what kills projects are these tails. We always do calculations based on averages. So what you're going to see in the output of a simulation are distribution. You're going to see box plots similar to this that you're going to see. We were going to tell you this is the median. I'm 95% sure that the output is going to be within this box, 95%. And then you see the tails as well. So the box plots are something that we provide in the output. Now, to the model that we built for our client, so it was both the mine and the processing side downstream to the extent that was required to see what's the impact of the uptime and downtime of downstream assets on the mining operation. So the general workflow was that they gave us 2 years worth of modular dispatch data, and they got 2 years of their processing plant historical data based on minute. And the first step is to do data analysis. And you hear these days lots about big data and data warehousing. To me, it's all, you know, SQL databases and writing code to pull queries. So what we did, we basically did data analysis, which provided, you know, a documentation on what has happened in their operation in the last 2 years to the level of details that they were really looking for. And basically, we developed some tools that are automated reports in Excel, and then automatically generates like reports showing histograms and basically the statistics of the data. This part of the study alone is very valuable because you just see what's happening. They see reports that you don't see on regular dispatch reports. And many, you know, new things are discovered at that stage. It's a reusable tool. It means that in the next 3 months, you bring a new database. This is what we did in the last 3 months. We just connected to that database. We run and get a new report for you. The other component that was included was the production schedule and haul road network, which is an input to the simulation model as well. So you provide a production schedule for us. It could be XPAC, it could be any other Vulkan, any output of the production scheduling tool that you use. And usually the tool was built, as I said, for a quarterly planning tool, which we simulated every load. And then we have the haul road network, which again is a DXF file directly coming from your mine planning tool. Whatever you have for the next quarter, the whole road network with all the details to the mine polygons are going to be an input as well. All of these are in Excel because engineers love Excel. Whatever you do, end of the day, they're going to put it in Excel. So our input and output are all in Excel. And then we build the simulation model in Arena, which Arena, end of the day, generates a database similar to Dispatch. And then we compare, we pull reports from the simulation versus historical data to show that the first step to validate and say this simulation model is not just generating some ad hoc numbers. It shows that it's basically mimicking what you have done in the past. So Dispatch, it has all the components that you have in a dispatch from, you know, queuing time, spot time, load time. So we did data analysis and all of the components required. And, you know, the effective flat haul, backup time, cycle time, every component that exists in the modular dispatch was modeled. And we are not limited to modular, any database. It could be Jigsaw, it could be Venco or any other PitRam or anything that you use could be used. The activity database, very important. So we got all the uptime, historical uptime and downtime, mean time between failure and mean time to repair for the data. And you have more than 650 codes, reason codes for failures that occur or uptime and downtime that we have. And we need a regrouping. You can't model 600 different reasons for failure in the models. It doesn't make sense. So we regrouped this to, I think, less than 60 groups that they were similar together. And then we did historical data analysis on those, the uptime, mean time between failure, and mean time of repair for all the components, time charts, ops, delay, ops, standby, short down, down for service, down technical, down waiting, and out of system. road network and production schedule, as I said, they provided us with those. And then the plant. So processing plant at the oil sand mine. So the idea was not that we're going to build a simulation for the plant. The idea was to see what's the impact of the uptime and downtime of the downstream assets on the mining operation, the queuing that we're going to see at the crusher. So we built the model, going all the way to the extraction. So we had, conveyor belts, surge bins, conveyors, breakers, all of those to the hydro transport was modeled, and we kept track of the grade at the crusher. The idea was not to simulate the grade in the plant. So fitting distributions, right? So we got those data as an input and fitted distributions on it, which are going to be the input to the simulation model in Excel. So what level of details we looked at, because the client was looking for a high level of accuracy, we were forced to go to lots of details. And for instance, we looked at truck shovel probability. What was the probability that a specific shovel type has loaded a specific truck in the database? Or truck material, again, the probability that a specific material was loaded with a specific type of truck. Dump times, again, we had, like, for example, 75 input model distributions there. Truck down and up time, so in truck types, they had like 3-4 different truck types, and M failure types, so we had 168 inputs there. Shovel uptime, downtime, the same thing, so these are the number that you see we use as an input. Spot time, and then let's say bucket count probability, so what is the probability that a, let's say 4100 PNH 4100 has loaded a 797B in oil sands with 3 passes in winter. We had 288 inputs there. And then loading cycle time, you get the idea. Loading cycle time, bucket tonnage, so you can see we got like almost a 6-dimension thing there. So basically in total it had 1300 inputs. It's a complex model, but that was what the client was looking for. And then the simulation model, the important part was that basically the ripple curves are used, so basically the gradients are of the roads are taken into account. And if you can play the animation back there. So the blue truck are loaded trucks and the yellow ones are empty. The trucks interact, they stop at the intersections. There's complete interaction between the trucks when they move. The velocity of the trucks was the most basically critical thing that we modeled, and they were very critical against that, how we model this velocity against their dispatch data, because you can run them faster or slower and then you show higher or lower productivity. So the whole idea was that we were going to be able to show that the velocity of the trucks matches what has happened in the field. So as I said, we use ripple curves. The velocity of the trucks are changed based on the gradients and rolling resistance, and there's complete interaction between the trucks. Another component that was very important to make it a valid simulation model was dispatch, because in the mine operation, you have a dispatch that makes a decision where the trucks are supposed to go, and we needed to have that logic within our simulation model to show that the simulation is mimicking what's really happening at the mine. So the two important points was that basically dispatch after loading, where it's supposed to go. Part of it comes from the schedule that we know to what plant the material is supposed to go or to what waste dump it's supposed to go. The other one, the decision was on the fly, that at the fly, when I have multiple hoppers, where do I have the maximum queuing, then I'm going to send basically the truck to the crusher or the hopper that has the minimum queue. The other important part is the dispatch travel basically returning to the shovel, which we basically modeled it based on the paper that was published by Modular Dispatch back in 1993, which is the backbone of dispatch. We modeled as an optimization, external optimization model, which talked to the simulation. So we had an external model which was mimicking Modular Dispatch based on the paper that they have. Obviously, it's not the exact same thing that you were going to have in dispatch. It's proprietary. There are lots of heuristic running at the back of it, but this is the best that we had available. So comparing this, this will basically cause a lot of problems, since the runtime is going to, increased a lot. So what we did, we mimicked a dispatch logic within the simulation, which follows the same logic that is in modular dispatch and other dispatch software. The runtime decreased a lot with running in that sense. And then, so basically, we ended up having the logic inside Arena itself when we were running it. And we compared against, after, the two models with the external dispatch model and the internal, and the results were very close, so 0.9% difference. So we said what we have developed internally, it makes sense. And then, you look at the queue length at the shovel, so these are box plots again, so compare the two external and internal dispatch logic, and we're comfortable that this is really doing what is similar to the logic that happens in dispatch. Now, validated results of the simulation. Results are normalized, all the numbers are between 0 and 1, but the histograms you see are real data coming from the, basically, simulation. So what we provide for every KPI that they are looking for is going to be histograms again. So we have count, min, max, range, mean, median, all the statistics that you're looking for. And usually people just work with this. They ignore the end of the basically tails. We provided simulation results, and we have their data showing this is what has happened in the operation, real operation that you had, and this is what the simulation results. So for instance, this is measured ton, the tonnage that basically each truck was carrying. What we provide is a QQ plot, we call it, which is the cumulative probability of this first spin versus the first spin here. So if it is a 45 degrees, it shows that we had a very good match between simulated results and data. And it will deviate in some places. It's not really possible to get it for all the details. So this is, for example, for measured ton, and this is provided for every single KPI. So the simulation generates like a 200-page report, which on each of them you got the stats of simulation versus basically data. So again, spot time, you can see we got a perfect match. I'm just gonna go over a couple of them. Dump times, simulation versus data again. And then these can go to more detail. We can pull reports for specific truck type, specific dump location, but these are the overall results that we were looking at. Empty distance traveled, loaded distance, loading time for the shovel, queue time at the shovels. So the queue time was very interesting because the modular dispatch or any dispatch system records the queue based on the beacon queue, which is we figured out is only covers around 50 meters. So any queuing which is more than 50 meters, which is only three trucks, from the fourth truck is not going to show up in your dispatch report. Whereas in the simulation, we can really see that you have more queuing than what you have in your dispatch data. And then velocity, which was a very important thing end of the day. They were very sensitive to the velocity because they wanted to make sure that what's the interaction between the trucks, the gradient of the roads, and the condition of the roads is modeled properly, and the velocity of the trucks are in the simulation and the model are kept within a very good distance. So the numbers that you see here, 0%, it means that we were bang on. So the results between simulation and the data were exactly the same. This is the error that you see. Zero means there was no error. And the rest of the numbers that you see are basically error, plus minus errors that exist between prediction of the simulation and what has happened in the model. So you can see for mean and median, we were pretty accurate. They kept us within 3%, plus minus 3% for most of the KPIs that we were looking at, measure ton, empty distance, loaded, empty, full travel time, spot time, loading, queue time, dump time. And as you can see, we get this for all historical data. And then comparing scenarios in the simulation model, we do the same thing. You have scenario A, I got this number of truck, now I want to change it, and you run and compare how much improvement I'm going to get for all my KPIs when I do that. The truck KPIs, right? So ops delay, basically ops standby, short down, so we can see all the numbers the summation, the total overall op standby that we had over the quarter, and the physical availability, use of availability, operating efficiency, effective utilization, and what the client was very interested in, calculated ton per, not net operating hours, and ton per gross operating hours was where we were looking at, and you can see they're all perfectly within the region that we were looking at. The other thing is that, like many people ask me, well, okay, how is this different from Halcim? How is this different from Telpak? The difference is that if they show results like this, I'm then going to talk about and look at into what are the real differences that we are, you know, discussing. Then when we validated model, we looked at the autonomous option. I can't share lots of details, but after validating, the assumption was that, okay, now we have autonomous trucks. There are some information provided from the basically manufacturer that how they're going to basically, you know, behave. You have closer travel, you know, safety distance between the trucks. Obviously, for instance, the shift change and coffee breaks are gone, and you will have some new problems for those uptime and downtime. For instance, if one truck fails on the road, it's going to block the whole system. Everything stops till they come and basically take the truck out, or there are glitches that the whole system goes down for a period of time. So we looked into all those options and ran the simulation model after validating with the autonomous trucks and showed to the client that what are the productivity gains that they're going to achieve using this system. Some of the new developments that we have, what we looked at here was this, so conventional. So basically we got an operational plan for truck shovel allocation, right? They provided the short-term plan to us, and then we run simulation on that. As I said, the simulation doesn't give you answers. It's not going to generate a schedule for you. We are providing a schedule to us, and then we assess that how the output is going to be. What we are doing currently is that we just directly get the mine polygons with the sequence, and then we're combining simulation and optimization, which generates a short-term plan out of the simulation model that I'm discussing right now. It's working fine. We haven't run on a real scale, large scale operation similar to what I showed before, but it's working fine on real data that we are looking. So it looks into maximizing production, minimizing the deviation in tonnage supply to the processing plant, minimizing the grade deviations at the ore destinations, and minimizing shovel movements that you have in the pit. It's an iron ore, the deposit that we did some tests on it. It generates weekly production plans like this. And as I said, the resolution of the simulation is every single load, and we can pull reports on any time frame that you're interested in. And then the head grade. So it has a target head grade. So it basically tells you how much you're supposed to mine from each of these polygons to achieve the blended head grade that you're looking at over weeks. So this is like 6 months. And then you can see at the early, we have more, basically we have tighter variants. And the more you go towards the end, because it has already depleted the polygons with different grades, you cannot really achieve it, so you're going to get more variability. You can put priority on the plant. So for instance, here we have higher priority on plant one comparing to plant two. So here we got a tighter basic variability around the grade there versus plant two, which is we don't have that much priority. You got lots of variance. The same thing again, grade blending, switching the priority. Some examples of that. And then you get the ore production, which again, you're going to see on a weekly basis, you're going to see what you can expect. So you have a mean, and then I give you a plus minus number that we are 95% sure that your production is going to be within that plus minus range that we are referring to. And it gives you the sequence that you need to mine the polygons to achieve it. I guess that's about it. So thank you very much, and I'll be pleased to answer any questions if you have.
You need different data from different mines for building simulations specific to the mine, or you can work with the data?
The simulation model is the same, but the input needs to be calibrated to that operation if you really want to have good results.
Okay, so the customer
you
needs
can
to
use similar data and say, okay, this is the type of equipment that I have. I had 797B, and this 797B, this is the historical data. This is how it has basically behaved in this mine. I have a similar mine. I can use it there. But the accuracy is not going to be what you see here. This is the same data. We use the data from the same mine to predict what's going to happen if they, you know, basically replace it with autonomous trucks. And but it's data-driven. It's not the assumptions that we are making. It's what's happening out there is driving the whole thing.
Okay, got it. Thank you. And once you have the simulation with my data, can I ask, for example, how many trucks do I need to achieve this production?
Exactly, that's the whole purpose. So after, I showed you only the validation part here. So then you will ask what if questions. What if we replace, one of the questions that I have, what if we replace the current mixed fleet that we have with all Komatsu 960Es? What's gonna happen? What if we start moving shovels from pit one and bring the 4100s to pit two and move the hydraulics there? What's gonna happen? What's going to happen if we introduce new roads? So they provide a new mine plan within the roads, and basically, what is going to be the impact of the you know this new change? And so this stage that I showed mainly was to believe that the simulation model is working. Then we will answer question after the run scenarios.
Victor Vdoyan from Goldcorp, Penasquito Open Pit Mine. Quick question about financial attractiveness of this work. I mean, does autonomous haulage, is it financially attractive after all this done, all of the work that you have finished?
Well, as I said, it's we didn't look at the dollar values. We were not hired to do that. We were looking at productivity, and it is confidential. I cannot share it here that how much percentage improvement or not improvement did we see. But we mainly looked at productivity side. We didn't look at the, basically, we were not hired to do the dollar analysis. The productivities were good. So let's put it this way. Pardon?
Are you looking at 10, 20, 30% improvement?
In the range between 10 to 20%.
Oh. Sorry. When you say a percentage improvement, was that based on the availability due to no blasting or not having to stop for blasting and lunches and that, so that's where the value is coming from?
There are multiple components that are attributing to it, but shift change, coffee breaks, those are some of the main components, but there are many other components kicking into the operation. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.